This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24? I thought that I just want to talk about the four parables in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. I know I haven't finished the Millennium Kingdom in the book of Revelation. I'm going to come back to it. There's probably another four or five sessions. We probably have another 6 to 8 sessions before we complete the book of Revelation. Then I may want to talk about the Father's heart of God. Okay, I thought that it's good for us to go back to understand the heart of the Father, the heart of Jesus, even as we continue to pursue this journey about establishing the house of prayer. Why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24? Okay, Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to chapter 25, until the end of the chapter, chapter 25, the Bible gives us four vital parables. Okay, in my opinion, I believe this is probably the most important parables for the end time church. Because you study these four parables, because this four parables is really in the context of end time. When Jesus taught it, he taught it in the context of end time. And these four parables can only be fully understood if we interpret it in the context of end time. There are four parables. The first one is, of course, the parable of the good and evil servant, Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to 51. The second one is the parable of the 10 virgins. Okay, I love this. I'm going to run through it again. I know I'm a little bit ambitious today because on Sunday, it took me 1 hour, 1.5 hour just to finish a parable of 10 virgins. I'm trying to do 4 tonight with about 2 hours. But I'm going to just try. I mean, the main thing is I want to revisit these 4 parables. I think I've shared it before over the years, but I have not talked about it for a long time. I thought we should revisit it because these 4 parables is vital. We need to know. Because the purpose when Jesus teach the 4 parables at the end of his teaching about end time, the purpose is he wants to prepare the church. The main purpose of these 4 parables is to prepare the church to walk in power and to walk in victories. That's why he taught end time from Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, all the way to Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Then he talks about the 4 parables. Because these 4 parables, if we understand the very issue that Jesus is trying to address, the focus is to prepare the church so that we will be victorious, so that we will walk in power. There are 4 parables. Parable of the good and evil servant, Matthew chapter 24. Verse 45 to 51. Parable of the 10 virgins. Okay, some call it parable of the wise and the foolish virgin. Well, it's all the same. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. Parable of the talents. Okay, I love this. Because basically this parable of talent is more than just about calling us to be faithful. The issue is about being faithful. But if you understand the bigger picture, it's an invitation for us to be great in the age to come. Okay, and of course, what will, inverted commas, qualify you to be great and participate with Jesus in ruling and reigning in the next millennium? One of the key issues is being faithful in this age to what God has called you. That's why we need to understand this parable, especially we are coming to the end of the age where we are about to transit from this age to the next age where some of us, I say some of us because if you've studied the Bible, not all of us will rule and reign with Jesus. Some of us, and a lot is based on our faithfulness in this age. That's why this parable is crucial, parable of the talent. Matthew 25, verse 14 to verse 30. Last one is the parable of the sheep and goat. It's Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. It's an ultimate litmus test of God at the end of the age. And it's got something to do with Israel, okay? I believe as we go down the road, as we get closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus, this parable will become clearer and clearer. Because standing with Israel will be one of the litmus tests of God. I mean, you are talking about going to heaven or going to hell. I prove it to you from Matthew chapter 25. Now, many people read this, like, as we go down the road, it'll be clearer and clearer. And this four parable, especially parable of the sheep and goat, is a vital message that the forerunner has to proclaim. Because the church has to understand. Because if the church do not understand, we will resist Israel. I mean, we are aware of this thing called replacement theory. Because of the lack of understanding, the parable of sheep and goat will make it very clear. The issue, God will raise up, Israel will be raised up at the end of the age, like a standard where God will say, if you stand with Israel, you are standing with me. If you stand against Israel, you will be standing against me. Okay, this is a timeless principle in the Bible. Say, wow, how come? So harsh. Okay, it's in the Bible. I'll prove it to you if I have time. Okay, so these four parables are probably, in my opinion, I say in my opinion because I know some people may disagree, but if we believe that we are in end time, and if you study these four parables, it's really in the context of end time. It has to be probably the most important parables that Jesus has taught. And the focus, or rather the purpose when Jesus taught these four parables, is to prepare the church. So that the church will understand, we will stay faithful, we will stay connected to God, and we will be victorious. Okay. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Jesus taught about end time from Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 to 44. And he ends by giving this poor parable. Basically, he's exhorting the people of God. Because he's addressing to the people of God. He's not just talking about people at large. Because if you study Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25, you know that he's talking to his disciple. It's a private setting where he said this, pay attention. I want you to pay attention to these four parables. He's using the word watch. You know, the watch is very crucial pertaining to the teaching of Jesus when it comes to end time. Nine times, write it down. Nine times at the end of his teaching about end time, he tells the church, watch and pray. Watch and pray. If you throw in the book of Thessalonians, where Paul talked about end time, and the book of Revelation, there's probably about 12 times. At the time, at the end of the teaching, I mean, I'm talking about Jesus right now, nine times, he tells the church, watch and pray. And a lot of this watch and pray is pertaining to these four parables. Because Jesus wants us to pay attention to these four parables because he's addressing issue that is crucial. And the church has to understand first. So that we can be the voice, first prepare ourselves, then prepare others. Let me give you the verse. Okay. All nine times, this word watch is in relation to how to prepare for end time. I can tell you what this watch is about. Okay, because very often when you talk about watch, we always straight away equate it as prayer. No, of course prayer is part of it, but the word watch is more than just a call or a focus to pray. That's why Jesus used the word watch and pray. Watch and pray. And the four parables is pertaining to Jesus calling us to watch. Pay attention to these four parables. You will do well. You are wise. If you pay attention to these four parables, and I believe that these four parables will be preached more and more as we get closer to the coming of Jesus. And especially important for us as the forerunners. We prepare ourselves first. Then we prepare others. Okay, have I given you the verses already? Oh, not yet, okay. So don't go ahead myself. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Mark 13, verse 9. Mark 13, verse 9. Verse 33, verse 34, verse 35. Verse 37. You get it? Okay, last one. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. When Jesus said, watch, he's talking about two things. He's making a call to two things. First thing is he's calling us to have an attentive heart to what the Spirit and the Word of God is saying in the context of end time. I always say spirit and the word because you need both. Okay. Say, pay attention. Have an attentive heart to what the Spirit is saying right now, pertaining to end time. And I believe specifically is referring to the four parables. Crucial four parables. So the word watch, the first thing is basically pay attention, take heed. If you study Matthew 25, all the teaching of Jesus about end time, Matthew chapter 24, 25, Mark 13, Luke 21, he always used the word watch and pray, take heed or be alert. Basically, it's pay attention, take heed, be alert to the stirring of what the Spirit is saying. That's why our heart has to be always sensitive, so that when the Spirit stirs, we understand. When we read the Word of God, we understand. The second thing about watch is the call to develop a heart connect with God. You know, sometimes we can stay off connect with God. That's what the parable of 10 virgins is all about. You must stay connected. You must maintain that connection. That's the two emphases of all four parables. I tell you the two emphases. That's very simple. So the second thing is called to develop a heart connect with God. That means cultivate faith and history with God. Develop understanding of what God wants in such a time as this. And the last one, strengthen our faith. It's time to strengthen our faith. Because it's not just going to be a walk in the park. It will be a challenge. There are two major emphases of these four parables. I mean, it addressed four different issues, but there are two major emphases. It's just very simple. Jesus is calling us to stay faithful, to stay connected to the heart of God. That's what the four parables is about. Stay faithful, stay connected to the heart of God, so that you know what God wants at the end of the age and how to prepare ourselves, what to say. And if we do so, that means if we stay faithful, if we stay connected to what Jesus is trying to say in these four issues until the very end, the reward is great. You will receive a maximum blessings from God. Jesus will invite you to partner with Him. Wow, I love this. I love these four parables because all four talks about God inviting us to rule and reign with Him. And I love one of the promises. If you are faithful with little, you'll be given too much. Wow, God pays well. No, now election talk about don't pay well, whatever. I mean, vote for Jesus. No, Jesus doesn't need you to vote. I'm saying is that God pays well. If you're faithful with little, He rewards you with much. Wow, what a good paymaster. Basically, this is what the parable of talents is all about. One of the problems with the unfaithful, or rather, the parable talks about the wicked and the lazy servant, because he has a wrong understanding of who God is. Okay, so there are two major emphases of this four parable. Stay faithful. Stay faithful until the end. If you study all four parables, the theme is the same. No, the emphasis is the same. Stay faithful. Stay connected to God. That means understand what is in his heart. What is he looking for? And cultivate and develop that. Watch. Pay attention. Let me give you a little bit overview of Matthew 24 and 25. Then I give you the overview of the four parables. Then I will run through it verse by verse. Okay, I doubt I can go in detail because there are a lot. But the idea is to let you go back and study on your own, meditate, pray, and cultivate the things that God wants us to cultivate in these four parables. Because we will never be able to finish. It probably needs 4 hours. Maybe I'll find a time to talk about the ultimate four parables. Maybe one the day. Okay? Give you some overview of Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. Because if you want to have a better understanding of these four parables and have a much appreciation, you need to understand Matthew chapter 24 and 25, because these four parables really in the context of Matthew chapter 24, which is really about end time. The four parables. No, you can apply the principle timeless to churches of all ages. But if you are right down to the strictest of application, the call for all four parables is specifically for the end time church. I know, of course, throughout ages, we all are to buy oil. We are to maintain an intimacy with Jesus. But this strictest to the strictest is in the context of end time. Jesus is addressing the end time church. So the ultimate application is really the generation where Jesus returned. We will understand and appreciate it even much more when we study, meditate, knowing that the ultimate application is in the context of end time church. You get it? And you will understand what Jesus is talking about. Because the parable of the sheep and goat will not make sense if you don't have an understanding of what is going to happen to Israel in end time. At the moment, there's no issue. Israel has its own land. But there will come a time, they will be hungry. They'll be stranger in the land because they'll be kicked out of their nations. They'll be put in prison. They'll be naked. Naked, not necessarily walking around naked, but they will lose many things. Will we stand with Israel? Or will we not stand with Israel? Now it's easy for us to say we love Israel. There will come a time you'll be politically incorrect to stand with Israel. More than just politically incorrect, you could end up in jail if you stand with Israel. God is going to raise up the test. It will be intense. That's why we need to cultivate understanding right now, prepare ourselves so that we will respond right. It's easy for us now to wave a flag of Israel. Where, what's the thing called? Kebab, eh? Whatever you call it, I don't know. And eat Jewish food, don't eat pork. There will come a time. That's where Jesus, in his wisdom, give us this parable. Said, prepare right now. You develop understanding. You grow in confidence. You know that this is the truth. And you come to a time when your faith is strengthened based on conviction. Even at the ultimate test that will come, you will stand because your faith has developed. You know what I'm talking about? That's why this is so crucial. No, I'm not talking some theory. I believe that it's likely to happen within our lifetime. If you understand what is happening right now around the world, especially Europe, anti-Semitism is rising. Now, it's still politically incorrect to judge Israel, because World War II is just over. But anti-Semitism is returning, and it's going to be big time. There will be if you know the Bible, there will be a reenactment of Holocaust again. And it's going to be more than 10 times worse if you study the Bible. So we need to understand, pressure will come. You will give in if you don't build conviction and understand the heart of God. That's why it's so crucial. These four parables, okay? I mean, these four parables, I love these four parables. Okay, so Matthew chapter 24. Jesus basically teach about end time in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 to prepare his people for end time and for his second coming. Okay, this is the final private teaching of Jesus. Okay, Matthew chapter 21, 22, and 23 is his final public teaching. He entered into Jerusalem. It's his final week. He's preparing, but this is his final private teaching. Let's go to verse 3. It's very clear. Verse 3 says this: Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciple came to him privately. It's a private setting. It's the final private teaching of Jesus. You throw in John chapter 14, 15, 16. That's what all is about. This is his final private teaching. This chapter, or rather these two chapters, okay, please take note, because if you want to be a student of end time, when I say student, not just know in the head, that means you know in your heart, there's a sense of reality. If you want to be the student of, I use a big word, I know two big words, so I'm going to use one big one. If you want to be a student of eschatology, I say, what's so big about this? Okay. You want to be a student of end time, you must know Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 25, because this is probably one of the most important passages of Scripture in New Testament concerning end time. Okay, yeah, and you must study together Mark 13 and Luke 21, because all three are parallel. Okay, there are three main teaching, or rather three main persons who taught about end time in the New Testament: Jesus, Paul, and or I say Revelation, no. Jesus, Paul, and Apostle John. Okay, you must study all three together in order to be the student of eschatology. Because something Jesus mentioned, Paul did not mention. Some things John mentioned, Jesus did not mention. Because you read Matthew chapter 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, which is mainly the teaching of Jesus of end time, Jesus never mentioned about Antichrist. Paul mentioned about Antichrist. John mentioned about Antichrist. But John and Paul didn't mention about the beginning of birth pangs. So you've got to study all three teaching together. Okay, basically, three main persons. That's Jesus, where he taught. I talk about New Testament. I mean, Old Testament, you're going to study Isaiah, Joel, Zechariah a lot. Okay, we have come to it along the way. Okay, there are three main teachers. Jesus, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Mark 13, Luke 21. Okay, I think most of y'all should be, but let me run through it. Paul, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Of course, the book of Revelation, which we are going through it right now, is a must know. How many chapters? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 chapters in the New Testament. Okay. You put all three together, you have a pretty clear idea of what is going to happen in the last days, including the timeline. Okay, it's very clear. Next. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 3 to verse 35. I'm going to break down the outline so that if you go back, if you read it, it will make sense for you. Okay, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 to 35. Jesus gives detailed information. Okay, listen, he gives detailed information on the signs of end time and his second coming. You know, people always say that we will not know. It's totally untrue because there are 100 over 50 chapters in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, where the Bible gives us such clear informations. We will know. In fact, God wants us to know. We are in deception if we think that we will not know because it's not what the Bible teaches. Let me just run through again. Verse 3, chapter 24. Verse 3. I mean, then Jesus will be wasting his time. God does not waste time. He teaches us in detail because he wants us to know. Let's go to verse 3. Verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciple came to him privately, saying, they're asking a question, tell us, when? When means what? The time, isn't it? When? When will this thing be? Talking about end time, if you study the whole context, and the second coming, when? That means we can know, okay? When? And what will be the sign? Tell us what are the signs. As we look at some of this sign, we will know that end time or the second coming of Jesus is near. See, Jesus is a great teacher. He's a great communicator. If he does not want us to know, then he won't waste time spending another 30 verses telling us, look out for all this sign. And you go to the parable of the fig tree in verse 32 to verse 25, he make it very clear. When you see all this sign coming, you know that summer is near. That means you are near to the end of time. We can know. Okay, one more verse. Turn to me to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. You see, the Bible make it very clear. I have no time to run through it. When we come to the teaching end time for the four runners who I talk about it, Matthew chapter 24 is very clear. We will not know the specific day, hour, or even year, but we will know the generation. We will know the generation where Jesus will return. That's what parable of the fig tree is all about. When you see the fig tree, you know that this generation who see the fig tree will not pass away until Jesus come back. That's why people say, how do you know? How do you so sure that? How are you so sure that we are likely to be the last generation? If not, we'll be Joshua's. Joshua, right? Yeah, kind of the lost. Yeah, Joshua, Joel. Joshua will be the last generation because Bible tells us so. So we can know. And Paul makes it very clear. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, said that you will not be mong cha cha. In fact, he said that if you do not know, you are sleeping. Wake up. Be sober. Be alert so that the second coming of Jesus will not be like a thief in the night. You know why thief in the night? Thief in the night basically is saying that you will be caught unaware. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 4, Paul said this, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. Okay, this, he's not talking about sin. In this case, he talks about you are not in darkness, talking about you will have understanding. Okay, you are not in darkness, so that this day, what is this day talking about? The second coming of Jesus should overtake you as a thief. Because when thief come, if you know thief is coming, you still allow your house to be robbed, then you are the greatest fool. Okay, because if you know that thief is coming, you're going to stand guard at your house, isn't it? That's what Matthew chapter 24, verse 31 to verse 44 is all about. Listen to verse 5. You are all sons of light. That means you should have understanding. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. You know why not sleep? Not talking about physical sleep. That means watch. Pay attention. It's time to watch. If you throw in Romans chapter 13, the second coming of Jesus, do not be slumber. It's time to be awake and put on Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us what? Paul used the word watch and be sober. Pay attention. Start developing the very things that Jesus has reminded you through the four parables. No, I'm putting in the context of the four parables, but there are more things. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 24. Make sense to you? We can know. The scripture is very clear. We will know the generation. We will not know the specific time. People say, how can you predict time? Throughout all these seven and a half years, I teach about end time. You have never heard me say precisely when. I always tell you it's between 20 to 50 years. No, I have to cut down on it. 10 years ago, 50 years. Cannot always say 50 years. 20 to 40 years. We will know the generation. Okay. Back to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 4 to 8, Jesus talked about the beginning of birth pangs. Okay, Matthew chapter 24, I've given you the outline. Verse 4 to 8, he gives us he asks us to watch out for seven signs. Okay, if you throw in Mark 13 and Luke 21, there are about 12 signs. 12 signs will tell us the beginning of birth pangs. In fact, you are seeing a lot of this sign already. We are probably at the beginning of birth pangs. Okay, earthquakes and so on and so on. Okay, verse 4 to 8, Jesus talked about the beginning of birth pangs where he gave us seven signs. Say, if you see this seven sign, you know that we are the beginning of sorrow. Verse 9 to 14, he talks about what the church will face. Okay, pressure, persecution, and the result of it, there will be a great falling away. That's where he talked about there will be fear. There'll be confusion. There'll be lawlessness. We'll get offended. We'll betray one another. Okay. Then verse 15 to verse 28. Again, chapter 24. Verse 15 to verse 28. He described about what happened during the Great Tribulation. Okay. You've got to study this together with the book of Revelation. You'll be very clear. Verse 29 to verse 31. He talked about the second coming. Verse 32 to verse 35. Okay, he gives the major sign, okay, which is taught the parable of the fig tree. He's telling us, look out for this major sign. If you know what is the parable of fig tree, he's talking about Israel. Look out for Israel as the major sign. Then he ends, before he goes into the four parables, he ends in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 to 44. It's the first time he used the word watch, where he tells the church, develop prophetic understanding regarding the sign of time. Do not be ignorant. Watch. Let's go to verse 42. Jesus said this. after he teach everything about end time, telling people to develop understanding, say, watch. That means pay attention. In this case, pay attention, develop understanding. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. If you study carefully, it's not talking about you will not know. Because you go to verse 44, it talks about be ready as you develop understanding. And then he concludes from Matthew chapter 24, verse 45, to the end of Matthew chapter 25, by calling the people, say, pay attention to these four parables. If you are wise, you would watch. Watch! Okay, now let me give you overview of four parables in case I cannot finish, so at least you have a rough understanding. Overview of the four parables. Now I'm going to go through verse by verse. Well, I have about 50 verses, so I try my best. Okay, the first one, parable of the good and evil servant. Parable of the good and evil servant. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45 to verse 51. These are the final four parables on his earthly ministries. Okay, in this parable, Jesus basically is addressing specifically to the leadership of the church in end time. Okay, these are important because telling the leaders, okay, what it means to be faithful and wise, what it means to be evil. Okay, I mean, it's important for all of us because all of us are leaders. Whether you lead the thousands or you lead the two, you are still leaders. Okay, what Jesus is doing is that in this parable, he's contrasting two kinds of leaders. At the end of the age, it will happen. In fact, it's happening right now. It's very clear. We are seeing people who understand and they are wise. They are faithful leaders that Jesus defined in this parable. And there are those who are so-called wicked because they don't understand the signs of time. Say, watch. You know what's the issue? He said, Jesus said, watch. The issue is you have the wrong motives in the heart. Watch out for this. Deal with it. Second parable, parable of the 10. I mean, this is all important for all of us because we all can end up with a wrong motives. And the wrong motives is because we drifted away from having the yearning for the return of Jesus. You see, if you lose focus about, at the end of the day, what the gospel is all about. What's the gospel is about? Titus chapter 2 verse 13 says what? Blessed hope of his coming. Gospel is about we yearning for the return of Jesus. When we lose that perspective, we will lose an eternal perspective. Then we will live like the world live, and our leadership star will become like the world leadership star. The kingdom leadership star is called to what? Serve. The world leadership star is what? Called to lord. And you begin to abuse your authority because you think it's about yourself. It's all the issue of we lost focus of the return of Jesus. That's why people ask me, why you talk so much about end time? You read this parable, Jesus said, you are wise if you teach your people about end time. Blessed are you. Okay, thank God I've been teaching you the last 7 years. May I stay faithful and steady until the very end. Because faithful means you follow through what God has called you. And faithfulness is measured by, I'm going to write this down. Faithfulness in doing what God has called you is measured by decade, not years. Okay. If you've not done it 10, no, I didn't say I haven't done it 10 years. You have not done it 10 years, you have not done it 20 years, you are not faithful yet. You are still doing it. You are still faithful. It's, you keep doing it, even in the face of opposition, pressure, no one looking, you don't get any accolades. Because you know that this is the right thing, you stay faithful, you do it, and God say, you are faithful. Okay, I come to it. I'm running ahead of it. Okay. Next, parable of the 10 virgin. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. Addressed specifically to all the people of God. I shared last Sunday. The term virgin is never referred to unbelievers. It's always referred to believers. Paul say in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3, I'm betrothing you as a chaste virgin to one husband. Right now, we are virgin of Christ, preparing for the ultimate wedding day. So, it's addressed specifically to all the people of God. Parable of good and evil servant is a contrast. Parable of the 10 virgin is an emphasis. Okay, Jesus is emphasizing the import. Listen to this. I put it in two words. I didn't say it last Sunday. I go back and think, must have this. Jesus is emphasizing the importance of cultivating and maintaining our intimate relationship with God. Okay, we need to both cultivate as well as maintain. Because the thing about intimacy with God is this. It does not automatically increase, but it automatically decreases if you don't do something about it. That's why it's a very tricky thing. Once we slack, I mean, the danger is this. You never know that you're backslide. Never know you're backslided until you're way off. By the time you realize you're backslided, you're really in bad shape. That's why the key is not just cultivating. We have to maintain. Don't take, I was telling, is it Ying Chiu in the car? No, not telling Ying Chiu, I'm just giving an illustration. Just like you're driving a car. Don't ever take your foot off, is it called the foot off the pedal? Don't ever take your foot off the pedal. Keep stepping on the accelerator. No, not real driving. I'm just giving an illustration. The trick about intimacy with God, once you take the foot off the pedal, you are going to slide. That's why it's a reminder. Jesus said, if you are wise, don't neglect the oil. Cultivate, more than just cultivate, maintain. Because if you do not maintain, you will automatically slide. That's the thing about intimacy with God. Our love for God, you know, first and the great commandment. If you don't put an effort to love God, I mean, effort is all by grace. Please understand what I'm talking about. You will automatically grow cold. You don't do anything, you will not grow hotter. That's the trick. So that's what Jesus wanted to say. Okay? Basically, this parable is a call to us not to neglect the oil in our walk with Jesus. Buy oil! Buy oil! You know, it's the issue when Jesus said, watch, is make sure that you... No, the issue is wrong priorities. In parable of good and evil servant, it's the issue of wrong motive. Here is the issue of wrong priorities because they put land first instead of oil. Okay. Parable of the talent. Parable of the talent. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. Again, addressed specifically to all the people of God. Here, Jesus is focusing on being faithful in our ministry assignment here on earth. See, focus, understand. This is an invitation for all of us to be great in the kingdom of God. Okay, more than just doing a job. See, if you've proven yourself to be faithful, even with small things, you will be given big things. So it's a call to us not to neglect our earthly assignment. Okay. Again, the issue here is wrong paradigm. If you study, you know, in this parable, one with five talents, one with three talents, one with one talent. The problem with the one with one talent is this guy has a wrong paradigm about God and wrong paradigm about how God evaluates us. Wrong paradigm about greatness. You see, if you have wrong paradigm about God, we have wrong paradigm about how God evaluates us. We have wrong paradigm about greatness. We're going to become lazy. Or we're going to live life according to our own benchmark. We will neglect the, inverted comma, the business of God. We'll do our own thing. Okay, so this is the issue of the parable of the talent. Wrong paradigm. Last one. Last one. Oh, good. I have 1 hour. Last one. Parable of the sheep and goats. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. Okay, this parable basically is not just to believers. This parable is addressing to all Gentile nations at the end of the age. Okay, I say before, it's a litmus test of God for all nations at the end of the age. And tell us clearly, not the only, one of the criteria on how God will judge. I tell you, it's very scary. I thank God because before 2000, I'm a little bit anti-Israel because I hear all the funny teaching. I hate it. Now, thank God, I also be the goat instead of the sheep. That means I'll be on the left side instead of the right side, opposition. Okay, no, I'm not just joking. This is your election, okay? This is a litmus test of God, okay? Whether we stand with God or not, okay? Again, the issue, you say, watch out for this. The issue is, watch out that you do not have a wrong understanding of the heart of God concerning Israel. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Hey, one more thing, I forgot. Did I put it anywhere? No. Okay. If you study all these four parables carefully, these four parables actually prepare the church to understand what's the three aspects of Jesus when he returns? Bridegroom, king, judge. All four parables teaches us or reveal this three personality or ministry of Jesus. We know parable of 10 virgins tell us, highlight Jesus as who? The bridegroom. Parable of the good and evil servant and parable of the talent, highlight Jesus as who? The judge. Because he's going to judge. Okay. Parable of the sheep and goat, highlight Jesus as who? The king. Okay. The king. He give us, tell us who Jesus is. Okay. Turn to me to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to talk about the parable of the good and evil. We're going to go to verse by verse. Verse 45. Jesus said this. Who then is the, circle the word faithful and wise. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master make ruler over his household? Obviously, he's referring to leadership, isn't it? Because he said this, master make ruler over his household. These are leaders that he have entrusted his people, because his household is talking about the people of God to a certain extent. It's the church. He said, I am talking to the leaders at the end of the age. Of course, he's asking a very important question. How do you know that you are faithful and wise leaders? In my definition, you see, we have to define faithful and wise in God's definitions. Don't go to business school and study leadership or John Maxwell. No, John Maxwell is a good guy. But let Bible define for you what is being faithful and wise and what is the context of this parable and time. You see, how do you become faithful and wise as a leader when you come to the end of the age? Again, I say, Eddie, faithful means you stay true and you stay steady doing for years what God has called you. And wise, you are wise if you know what God wants and do it. Do you know who is faithful and who is wise? And the same breath, Jesus gives the answer. He said, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master make ruler over his household? He gives the answer in the same breath. Say, if you are faithful, if you are wise, you will be the one who give them food in due season. That means you will feed them. No, not just feeding the poor or whatever. That means you will equip them, you will teach them, you will strengthen them so that they will be prepared. What is the context? End time. So what are you supposed, of course it's important to teach them about the basic understanding of Christianity, the cross, the blood, and so on and so on. But you study the whole context. Matthew chapter 24. What is Jesus trying to say? If you are faithful, if you have wisdom to know what I want, feed your people, teach them about end time, so that they will have understanding, they will be equipped, and they will be ready. If you go back a few verses, verse 42, Jesus said, watch, therefore, so that you develop understanding of the signs of time. If you are leaders, you know, many people say, Kichong, why are you teaching about end time? I always use this verse. Jesus said, give them food in due time. People need to know. You know, many people ask me, don't teach children or young believers about end time. You know, this is totally contradictory to what the Bible teaches. Paul teach the Thessalonica church about end time. Guess how old is the church in Thessalonians? 3 weeks old. 3 weeks old. We all say, no, they'll be afraid. They won't be afraid because they don't have all the baggages. And Jesus defined very clearly, you are faithful. That means if you keep doing it until I come back, you are faithful. You will be wise if you teach your people so that they understand the signs of time and they are equipped to face what is to come. No, of course, I'm not saying end time is the only, then just like I always say, don't just give them vitamins. Give them some rice too, some staple diets. Okay. But the point, what Jesus is trying to say in this parable is that if you equip your people, you strengthen them to understand, prepare them for what is to come in the last days, you are wise. If you keep doing it for years, do not give up. Even facing opposition, difficult circumstances, people come, people go, and whatever, you are being faithful. If you keep doing it, you do not give up because you know this is what I want. You are faithful. You are wise. You get what I'm saying? That's what verse 45. Let's go to verse 46. Verse 46. I mean, I get great encouragement in this every time I face. People call me cut or whatever. I just go back, oh, thank you, Jesus. Okay, this will help. Verse 46. Guess what Jesus said? Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so do. That means, if this servant or this leader never give up, keep doing this, until the day he returns, Jesus said, you are blessed. I hope I will, because sometimes it's hard. You know, you're lonely and so on. No one is with you. Sometimes you feel like quitting. I hope that Jesus will say, you are blessed because you are doing this until the very end. And I hope we will stay until the very end. Jesus said, blessed is the servant. Find doing what? When Jesus returned. Give food, isn't it? And in the context, what kind of food? Because you throw in, because you're supposed to study Matthew chapter, this parable together, verse 36 to verse 44, is to equip the people so that they understand and they are ready. You are blessed. Okay, verse 46 and verse 47, where Jesus promised great reward. If you are faithful, keep doing this, I will invite you to partner with me. You will be given great reward. I love this. You know, I find they're talking about all the rewards. Actually, I talked before, but I'm going to categorize it. I mean, Jesus said this, verse 47. If you are faithful, now you know what it means to be faithful and wise. That means it's to teach your people, equip them, empower them, especially in the understanding of end time. Jesus promised this, verse 47. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over, oh, I like this word, all. I don't think it's all. I mean, all is, unless you are 100% faithful, 100% wise. I say, I was telling the Lord as I'm meditating on this, if I have some, I'll be very happy. Okay, but Jesus promised, if he will make him ruler, invite him to rule and reign with him. Wow. Okay, I say, wow, 7 years. Sometimes I tell the Lord, okay, let me see how many crowns that I have. Or do I have a throne? But don't be too proud. You may just lose it. Okay. Let's go to verse 48. Verse 48. That's why Jesus talks about what is an evil servant. Okay, verse 48. But if the evil servant say in his heart, you see, circle the word heart. It's the issue of the heart. That's why we need to watch our heart. If you study again all the teaching of Jesus about end time, in fact, everything that Jesus said, he always asks us to watch our heart. If we don't watch our heart, we will result in having wrong motives. Verse 48, but the evil servant says in his heart, and this next two verses tell us about the reason why they become evil. I don't think they started off as no one started off aiming to be an evil servant. But along the way, we lose focus. We lose track. Our heart went off. We begin to have a wrong motives. Okay, Jesus said this. The first thing, what is in their heart? My master is delayed in his coming. You know why? They lost track of the second coming of Jesus. Turn with me to Titus. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. See, one of the problems is if we lose the reality of second coming, which is the Titus 2 verse 13, say, it's the blessed hope, it's the ultimate hope of our gospel. We will lose eternal perspective. Then we will live this life, even believer, the same as the world, because we are not focusing on eternal, but we are focusing on temporal. And our leadership style will also begin to change. That's why we must not lose focus. The problem with the evil servant is they lose track. There's no sense of reality of the second coming. The Bible says, turn with me to Titus 2. It's the blessed hope. You know, people say, why you teach about second coming? I tell you, after all this year of studying about end time, I begin to have even greater understanding and appreciation of what the gospel is about. What the kingdom of God is about. This is crucial. Titus 2. Turn to Titus 2 first.